The Deeply Compassionate Love of Jesus, Part 2. Today we're going to finish a message that I started last week. Last week I talked about a very special Greek word, splenismai. It's translated in English as compassion, or literally, to be moved in the inward parts, or to yearn with compassion, or to be filled with tenderness towards someone. And we covered several passages where that word appears. But those accounts were just preparatory for our primary text, which is the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 33 through 35. About these verses, J.C. Ryle, renowned Anglican bishop of the 1800s, in his Expository Thoughts on the Gospels, which I highly recommend, he writes, "Not many passages in the New Testament are more wonderful than this simple narrative contained in these verses. It brings out, in a most beautiful light, the sympathizing character of our Lord Jesus Christ." Unquote. That was J.C. Ryle. But let's set the stage. It says in verse 1 of John chapter 11, "Now it came to pass that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, became sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now I'm going to skip over several verses here to stay with my main point, but you can read the whole chapter of John 11 to get the full story. And the gist of it is that Lazarus dies and Jesus travels to a place near the home of Mary and Martha, where the sisters of Lazarus are grieving. Martha comes to him first and they talk. Then Martha goes and gets her sister Mary, who is followed by a crowd of friends, all mourning along with the sisters. Verse 32, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Then it says, 'When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping.'" We see once again the pattern we discussed last week. Jesus saw. His eye is always watching with tender care over his beloved ones. He saw her weeping. But not just her, the others who came with her. And not just them, he sees all of our weeping, our tears, our sighing, our distress, our pain, our anguish. Being the second person of the omniscient Trinity, Jesus sees all things simultaneously. So he watches over all things all the time, but how he watches over his loved ones is an altogether different thing. For them, his eyes are full of compassion, and his heart is deeply moved by their distress. As it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved." The word translated "deeply moved" in the NIV is translated "groaned" in the King James Version. Not an outward sound of a groaning, but an inward turmoil. Or in one translation of the original word in Greek for deeply moved, it is a strong manifestation of inward emotion or a violent agitation of mind. The Greek word implies indignation. There's some anger mixed with sorrow. Just like when we see someone we love in grief, we get angry with the cause of that grief. And Jesus is angry at the cause of Mary's suffering. He's angry and disturbed, not at his beloved friends, but at the fact that they suffer so. In this case, you could say that Jesus is angry with death itself. He's angry with sin, the cause of death, with Satan, the primary promoter of sin and death. In fact, Jesus so hates death that he came to earth and died himself to put death to death. But that is all yet to come in the gospel narrative. But at this point in Jesus' earthly ministry, standing before these weeping women, right then Jesus was upset. He was deeply upset that Mary and the others were grieving. The very sight of our grief moves Jesus, deeply moves him. The heart of Jesus is a deep well. He is deeply moved by our sorrows, our troubles, our injuries, our sicknesses, our pains, our loss, our anxiety, our fears, our discouragements. But not only that, it says he was deeply moved in spirit. The compassion he feels is not just in his mind. He's not like a computer. Computers know lots of stuff, but they don't feel. He's moved to the very core of his being. However deep we think our sorrow to be, his compassion is deeper still. And we can climb into that compassion and let that compassion swallow up our sorrow. But not only was he deeply moved and deeply moved in spirit, there are some more very revealing words here. It says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. In the Greek, it says literally, he troubled himself. He troubled himself. It wasn't just an involuntary reaction. It didn't just happen to him. He deliberately chose to trouble himself about Mary's trouble. And he deliberately chooses to trouble himself over our trouble. Mary was troubled, so Jesus troubled himself with her trouble. If we are troubled, rest assured that Jesus troubles himself for us. So compassionate his love, he chooses to be disturbed by our griefs. Like this verse in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, one of my very favorite verses in the Old Testament, because it says so much. In all their distress, he too was distressed. In all their distress, he too was distressed. The context of that verse in Isaiah is that God's people had turned away from him and run after idols. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and so God chastened them to wake them up and turn them back to himself. God brought discipline in the form of trouble and grief, and even though God himself brought that pain, yet he wants us to know that he himself felt that pain, as only a tender-hearted Heavenly Father can do. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And right there is a scriptural proof text that in all our sorrows, even the ones the Lord himself sees fit to bring our way, our God suffers with us. I don't think that there's any other verse in the Bible that expresses that thought so well as Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. But getting back to our primary text in the Gospel of John chapter 11, Jesus was troubled to his very heart and soul and spirit, and now he takes action. He goes straight to the heart of the matter. He asks, "Where have you laid him?" They answer, "Come and see, Lord." Then it says, my favorite verse in the entire Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Oh, that I could do this one thought justice. But that is so hard to do, so rich, so meaningful are those two precious words, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, and yet I know of no verse packed with more meaning. Jesus wept. Literally in the Greek, it says Jesus shed tears. It doesn't say that Jesus shed a tear or that he got teary-eyed. It says he shed tears. As a Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says of Jesus weeping with those who weep, what a seal of his perfect oneness with us in the most redeeming feature of our stricken humanity, weeping with those who weep, identifying with those suffering loss, feeling their sorrow. He so identified with the grief of Mary and Martha and the others that he saw weeping that even though he knew it was just temporary, because he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, yet he still weeps at their sorrow. since it is true that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, all our griefs are temporary. The day will come when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's what it says in Revelation 21, verse 4. Jesus knows our grief and pain are temporary. Yet it does not mean that he does not deeply grieve for our temporary grief. It does not mean that he's not 100% with us in the moment of our need. Though he's infinite, he is right alongside us in our finiteness. Then it says, verse 38, once more deeply moved, Jesus came to the tomb. And verse 43, it says, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and gave him back to his sisters. And there was great astonishment, great joy, great celebration. Jesus' deeply compassionate love always brings us to a joyful end. As the hymn says, be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. No matter how dark the valley, even if it's the very valley of the shadow of death, the compassionate shepherd always brings us to splendid pastures. He has to, because he can't change who he is. He is deeply compassionate to all who call on him, and nothing in hell or on earth can change that. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, 38, and this is the New Living Translation, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in this poem of Robert Grant, when gathering clouds around I view, and days are dark and friends are few, on him I lean, who not in vain experienced every human pain. He sees my wants, allays my fears, and counts and treasures up my tears. Thou, Savior, mark'st the tears I shed, for thou didst weep o'er Lazarus dead. Now, two things at least we can take away from all this. Number one, knowing of the deeply compassionate love of Jesus, it should encourage us to go to him with all our sorrows, disappointments, pains, sicknesses, weaknesses, not just as the provider of comfort, but the very provision itself. Jesus wants to fill all our empty places with his love and compassion and his very presence. As we talked about 2 weeks ago, Jesus completes us. It's okay that we're so incomplete, because he makes up for what we lack. And number two, knowing how compassionate our Lord is, how can we be otherwise? After all, the word Christian means Christ-like, so we should show the same compassion for one another and for everyone else that he has shown to us. As J.C. Ryle says, even the Son of God could weep. It shows us, above all, that the Savior in whom believers trust is a most tender and feeling Savior. And it says, let us remember these things in daily life and never be ashamed of walking in our Master's footsteps. Tears of compassion well become Christians and make them most resemble Christ. I'm still quoting here. Let us strive to be men and women of a tender heart and a sympathizing spirit. Let us never be ashamed to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Well would it be for the church and the world if there were more Christians of this stamp and character the church would be far more beautiful and the world far more happy. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. Through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.